the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Veerabhadra Rao, affectionately called as Veeru. He joined the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in 1983 for his 11th class and later joined the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for BSc in Biosciences in 1985. And after 1 year, with Bhagwan's blessings and permission, joined the Osmania University to study medicine. He then went on to do Bachelor of Medicine and Bachelor of Surgery from Cardiff University, UK. He is a Fellow of Royal College of Surgeons, London, and a member of Royal College of Surgeons, Edinburgh, UK. Currently, he is a respected neurosurgeon in Cardiff, Wales, and also serves as the National Council President of the Satya Sai Organization, UK. In this talk, which was delivered as a part of the Region 8 Satya Sai Mini Retreat in California in June 2016, Dr. Veeru narrates some incredible experiences with Bhagwan. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some lovely songs sung by the Indian playback singer Sonu Nigam from his concert in Mumbai in the divine presence of our beloved Bhagwan. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Dr. Veerabhadra Rao.
Tvameva Mata cha Pita Tvameva Tvameva Bandhuscha सखात्वमेव त्वमेव विद्या द्रविणं त्वमेव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देव देव Sri Sai Deva. I offer myself at your lotus feet. And please speak through me. Respected elders, Dr. Reddy, Sudhir Bhaskar sir, and many other elders, brothers and sisters of the Sai family, it's a great privilege to be standing in front of you to share a few thoughts and a few experiences that Swami has so lovingly and kindly bestowed on me, and through that connect with each other and then connect with our Divine Lord Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. When I first got the call from Uncle Rohan, it's very difficult to say no to him. No one can say no to whatever Uncle Rohan asks, because the way he asks is so beautiful. I mean, he is so much older than myself. And I said, Uncle, you can't be that humble in front of me. I am the one who needs to be more humble than you. He said, no, Veeru, souls have got no ages, and you know, he'll give any explanation and you just can't say anything to him. And I took it as a blessing from Swami, and therefore I said that I don't speak, I just share. I just ask Swami to give me the courage and the ability to just share a few experiences with this wonderful Sai family.
Sarvarupadharam shantam Sarvanamadharam shivam Sachidanandarupam advaitam Satyam shivam sundaram Satyam shivam sundaram Sarvarupadharam shantam.
In each of us that is assembled here, Swami says that peace is inherent. It is integral to our nature. It is there within us. Sarvanama dharam shivam. Shivam, the auspiciousness, the holiness, it's there in every name. Sam, Viru, Jiva, Rohan, Sharan, in every name there is auspiciousness.
Sachidananda rupam advaitam.
This oneness has got, if at all one has to give a form to it, it is nothing but bliss. The Sachidananda Rupa, the Ananda which is Sat, the truth, the Chit, the pure consciousness, and the Ananda, that is the oneness, that is what binds us all into one. Not just in this room, but wherever we are, in this entire universe. This is what Swami is telling us.
Satyam Shivam Sundaram.
This is the absolute truth. This is the purest of the purity. It's the most holiest of the holies, auspiciousness. And this is the most beautiful thing that is there, that one can perceive in our mind.
Puvuliniyo techi pujalu chesina mechukonadu tanu puchukonadu.
You may bring any number of flowers and fruits and offer it to him, but he will not be impressed by that, and he is not going to readily accept that.
Hridaya kamalamivva sadayudai grahinchu maruvabokudu ituvanti manchi mata maruvabokudu itti manchi mata.
Again, Swami is saying to us that if you offer the flower of your heart full of purity, that he would take in an instant, immediately as soon as we offer. So here today, I offer my heart as pure as I can see it at his lotus feet. For us to be not experiencing this sarva rupa dharam shantam, the peace, or for us not being able to see this oneness in and the auspiciousness in all of us, for me not to see that, what is it that stops me? Why is it that I cannot see it? And Swami has said that between God and man, between Deva and Jiva, there is only a very thin veil. A thin veil, and that is nothing but ego. If Swami says Dakshinamurti, the Lord who conveys teachings in a silent way, he also talks at the end only of three things: the Jiva, the individual, Deva, God, and the thin veil of ego that's between us. If we can get through that, then we won't see any difference between ourselves, between each other, and between me and Swami. There isn't a question of presence, or there isn't a question of absence. The thing that separates me from God is my own ego. So then, if that is the case, how do I get rid of that, and how do I reach it? And Swami has said that he has laid a path down for us. He said, where there is confidence, initially he actually said, where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is truth. Where there is truth, there is peace. And where there is peace, there is bliss. And where there is bliss, there is God. And I want to relate this to the first sentence, which said, the first poem which said, Sachidananda rupam advaitam. And here he's saying, where there is bliss, there is God. So the journey starts from faith and takes us to this aspect of bliss, and then we are very, very close to God and we are one with him. So the The initial journey starts with faith, and Swami, or the Lord, comes down on earth. His first and fundamental duty is to instill in each one of us faith. The faith is instilled as a gift so that we may get rid of our ego. We may get rid of our ego so that we may become one with Him. I separated myself from myself so I can enjoy this world. But in the same way, we have to go through these processes to become one with Him. Swami uses a wonderful simile where He says, the knot is already there. You apply, the knot has been formed by Him, but you then go through a process of opening the knot, and you open the knot and then you merge with the One. So He has given us a formula, He has given us a way of doing it, and the first step in that is faith. I don't think faith is given for any other reason except to then develop great love. If my mother comes and, if I don't have faith in my mother, and if she then tells me, you know, this is how you need to do, this is what you should do, or this is what you should not do, I don't think I'll be following her. Or I don't think I'll be following my father. So the first thing for me is to establish this faith. After the faith, I start to love that person. Once I have faith that this is my mother, then I'll start loving that person more and more as my mother. And when the mother then tells me, don't do this, I'll accept that. In my case, Ted had started me off on saying if I could share a little bit of the story. But that is the cornerstone of my life. That is the foundation of my life. It is based on that I have started to love Swami. And He is the one who allows me to love Him more and more. He reveals Himself more and more in little steps, because I need the capacity to do that. I mean, in Bhagavad Gita it is said, when Lord Krishna spoke to Arjuna, and He spoke to him and he said, Arjuna, I am all forms, I am all names, I am all things. I am ignorance, at the same time I am knowledge, I am darkness, I am light, everything comes from me. He keeps on talking about this. And then Arjuna at one stage says, Lord, you know, you have said your form is this and that, I now want to see it. And the Lord says, because he has become so close to him, Arjuna had had the faith, he had had the love for Krishna, he says to him, Lord, I want to see that form. And the Lord says, yes, you can, but you do not have the capacity. Let me give you the celestial eye, the cosmic eye. Only then you can see me. And he gets the eye, I'm sure we all know. Then he sees this majestic, super majestic, cosmic form. It's described where it is quite terrible as well. And he can't actually, stand the heat of it, stand the majesty of it, stand the effulgence of it. And he then says, Lord, I don't want to see you in that fashion anymore. Please come back to me as the loving and the playful Krishna, so I can actually relate to you and I can start to live my life with you. And Krishna then, assumes his normal form. So even after giving a cosmic eye, Arjuna is not able to actually see this form of Lord Krishna. So when we say that we do not see this all majestic form of Swami, I think he is being very kind to us, because I don't think we'll be able to comprehend or understand what exactly Swami's nature or form or majesty is. So he reveals to each one of us in little ways, draws us unto him, and then allows us to love him. In some cases, people, have a headache, and they say, Swami, if I can get rid of this headache, then I'll believe that you're God. And then, no, honestly, isn't it? It has happened. In many cases, it has happened. This morning, while we were coming in the car, we were speaking about one gentleman called Mr. Raman Rao. He's a 90-year-old gentleman who is now in Prashant Nilayam. He is involved with editing, I think, the Telugu side of Sanatan Sarathi to some extent. Uncle should know. And Dr. Sudhir Bhaskar also knew him very well. When he first came to Swami, he had all kinds of vices. You know, he was a good man, but he was smoking, he was drinking, and he was, you know, doing all playing cards. And he had another friend who first went to Swami, and he got transformed completely. And he came back after a while and said, "Look, I have been giving you this bad company, and I've actually spoiled you. I want you to come with me, and I want to atone my sins so that you may also be transformed." And this gentleman said, "No, I don't want to go there, because the moment I go there, I have to stop drinking, I have to stop smoking, and I have to stop playing cards." He just didn't want to go there. He said, no, you are my friend, you have to come. So for the sake of the friend, he goes there to Prashant Nilayam. He's skeptical. Swami has come there, Swami is not even looking at him. Not only Swami is not looking at him, now this is 1966 or something, where there was hardly any crowd. And anybody who sat in front of Swami, everybody got an interview. I wish I was born 2 years earlier or something like that, but I wasn't. And he sat there, and Swami is not looking at them. Not only him, even the friend. Swami was not even looking at him. This man was not affected. He was fine. But the friend was really crying all the time. So he couldn't stand the friend's, you know, pity. And he said, "I'll stay away. You know, I won't come near you." Even then, Swami didn't come and either speak to the friend or Mr. Raman Rao. After a few days, he went and interviewed everybody. He would ask, "What did Swami say to you?" Each one is, you know, singing the glories of the Lord, but this man is not affected. He collected all those stories. He went to one gentleman who was typing. He was Kasturi Garu. He was writing the autobiography of Swami Satyam Shivam Sundaram. He went to him and said, "Sir, I have got some stories. You can add these on." You know, he thought he was doing some seva or helping him. Kasturi Garu said, "You know, every day there are about 50 stories of transformation. If I write all of them," and this is 1966, mind you, "if I write all of them, there is no paper, there is no ink, there is no time to jot all of them down." So he said, "These few stories you are going to give me are not going to really, really help me." So this man, and today is 2016, if the number of stories that have been recorded, as again Professor Sudhir Bhaskar was saying, can you imagine how many volumes? We probably would be the biggest collection of any encyclopedia volumes that we can think of. And to this man, to cut a long story short, he had a headache. And because of that, he went to, you know, he didn't want any help from Swami. He just wanted paracetamol. And for 4 days, he could not find a paracetamol, and the headache was becoming worse and worse and worse. The final day, he goes and he, near the Ganesha, and he says to him, "If you are God," this is addressed to Swami, "my headache should go away." He comes back, sleeps in the ashram. Next morning, there's no headache. He doesn't realize that he has not had a headache. Swami had still not seen them. They were about to leave. 2 seconds before they left, Swami sends a word and then comes, asks both of them to come inside. He speaks to the friend and then says, "Sir, how is your headache?" This man has forgotten about the headache, and the friend didn't know anything about it. Why is Swami directly talking to him and asking about headache? "Headache is gone, sir," he says. And his faith started from that and slowly developed in small steps. So, you know, when you laughed that, you know, Swami asked for a headache and you get, you develop your faith from that, I thought I would just share this. Sometimes it's a parking space. You know, "Swami, if I can get a parking space, I'll believe that you are with me now." You know, we ask every little thing of him, isn't it? I mean, actually he says that, "You are not my devotees. I am your devotee." That's what Swami says. "I am your devotee. I'm waiting for you all to see when will you turn your face towards me." Because we have taken this human birth only to become one with him. He has come on this earth only to help us become one with him. So he is waiting and waiting. He's given us faith. He's given us love. He has talked about, 42 volumes and 15 vahinis and everything else. He's waiting for us. He says, "I am your devotee," not that you are my devotees. So my faith started this journey with my brother. Some of you might have heard the story. But for me, whenever I narrate it, it just reinforces my determination my faith, my confidence, my love in Swami. Yesterday, I think in the evening, Dr. Reddy was saying that the path of spiritual journey towards this realization is a razor sharp path. In order for it to be steady on that razor sharp path, I need steadfast faith. I need complete love. I need total, I don't want to use this big word surrender, but I just want to offer myself to Swami as Professor Sudhir Bhaskar said, I am yours. Swami, I am sitting in your heart. This is all I want to experience and have it every time in my life. In order for me to do that, this particular faith, the fundamental, the foundation of it is very, very essential. And I protect it with all the energy that I can give it. In fact, Swami has made it easy for me because the transformation is so profound, shocking. Hair stand on my body whenever I narrate this. So, in 1972 December, my brother was born. He's younger to me by 5 years. I have a sister who is younger to me by 1 year. So, happy family. We were not Sai devotees. My dad was not. But he was a religious person. We came from a very religious family. We were Shiva devotees. We are Shiva devotees. And we also had great followers of Lord Venkateshwara, who is a very famous deity. I think most of us might know here in South India in a temple called Tirupati. So my name actually is Venkata Veerabhadra Rao. So the Venkata comes in all of us, all the males have a Venkata, which is the Lord Venkateshwara. That's how important he was for us. So my father was his devotee, but he was a scientific person. You know, people of science, which I am too, can be difficult ones, can be the most difficult ones, because their minds are most active. And Swami says spirituality begins where science ends. And Professor Suri Bhagavantam, who was there with Swami, somebody asked him, sir, you are a scientist, how come you are here? He said, I leave my science outside Prashantilayam and I walk into, that's how I can experience God. So he was a scientist and he used to think, why should I break coconut in front of a God? Why should I light an agarbatti? Why should I do an arati? Is it some kind of a bribe I am giving God? Is it that if I don't do this, because that's what the elders used to say, if you don't do this, you would incur the wrath of God. You would not get your promotion. You would not get your interview. So he felt, what's this? This is some kind of a bargaining thing. He didn't like it, but he still carried on doing it. So we were living our life. One evening, one afternoon, he was going in his auto rickshaw to some place, and there was a huge crowd on the road, and the rickshaw couldn't go any further. So he asked, what is this? He said, some Sai Baba has come, sir. He is giving a discourse. Therefore, everybody is here. My father knew about Shirdi Baba, but not about Swami. And Shirdi Baba, he knew, was no more in a physical form on earth. So he didn't have much, he didn't know him at all. But in those 5 minutes, Swami was giving a discourse. And in Hyderabad, there was no translation because everybody understood Telugu. And in that, Swami was describing or giving the inner meaning of why you should break coconut to God. Why you should light an agarbatti. Why you should light a camphor and give arati. Why you should offer your hair. In Tirupati, you offer your hair. He said, does God need your dirty hair? He doesn't need your... It's symbolic of, And so he was giving the inner meaning of, within 5 minutes. My dad was, oh, wow, it's all the questions I have had have been completely dissolved in 5 minutes. He said, oh, I like his discourse. So I'll come back. He was in a hurry, So he went. There was no faith. There was no love. So when there is no faith and when there is no love, even if the truth is being said to you, you will not accept it. It's very important for us that we preserve and we have one-pointed, steadfast faith, steady faith that doesn't shake. He didn't have any of that. So he thought this is good, this is good. So he carried on. Whenever he comes next time, I will go. This was his thought at the time. My brother was born. He was fine for 2 months. After the second month, he developed a rash initially on his body. And very soon, within a month or two, the rash spread. all over the body became blisters. The blisters became, they burst, they became infected. They were pustules or pus-filled blisters all over the body. And this is a little tiny bundle of, you know, human being, flesh at that time, and tender flesh, and with all of this. They went to different doctors. My father was a pharmaceutical professor, so man of science, and he took him to all doctors in Hyderabad who said it's not possible. He took them to Bombay where he used to work. This is 1972. They all said that, you know, we can give him steroids to reduce the inflammation and antibiotics. But, you know, this is so widespread and your immunity is not great. If you give steroids, you suppress your immunity further. And these kind of kids don't, you know, they succumb to these infections. They don't live for longer than, they gave him 2 years, basically. And anything could happen between now and the 2 years. So this was a distressing news, especially for my mother. And that was the time, you know, as I said, our family is Shiva devotees. They were great pundits, scholars in astrology, in different shastras. So one of the uncles, who was a great person, he was like a holy man. He was living a holy life. He was an expert on astrology. So he came to my dad for some material help. And then my mom got hold of him and said, "Oh, uncle, you know, you are a holy person. You know these horoscopes and everything. Can you take this time and put the birth chart for my son and come back and let me know what's going to happen to this guy?" So after a week or 10 days, he came back, mainly again to get the help from my dad. And my mom asked, "What is the, you know, what's the result of this horoscope?" And he said, you know, they noticed that he took the time wrong. Time of birth wrong, and therefore whatever he had done was complete, was total wrong. And so he said, "I'll have to go back and then do it and come back again." And my mother was furious. She was quite a dynamic woman, and she was really angry. And she shouted, "You know, what is this? I expected you to give me the good news, and this is what you're doing." And he just sat there and he said, "Radhamma, your son will be cured on the 7th of April. Don't worry." That was, a completely unscientific, no evidence-based statement. My mom was very happy. She straight away was very happy. My dad, he said, "7th of April? How come you say that? How do you know that?" He said, "I don't know. It just occurred to me that your son will be cured on the 7th of April." And he said, "Who will cure him?" And he said, "God will cure him." It was getting more and more unscientific, you know. He said, "God will cure him." Then he said, "Which God?" He said, "Whichever God you worship, he'll cure him." "You mean to say Venkateshwara will cure him?" We had a big picture of Lord Venkateshwara. And he said, if you think that is your God, if you have faith in him, then he is the God who will come and cure him. Now, I don't know how many of you know, some who will know here, Lord Venkateshwara is a black stone idol that sits on 7 hills, about 450 kilometers from our city. So my dad said, "This God, who is in a stone form, is going to wake up, walk down the 7 hills, come to my home," he doesn't know my address, "comes to my home and will cure my son." Now, by this man, this spiritual holy person, who has got nothing to do with science, he said, my father's name was Nageshwar Rao, so he said, "Nagesham, I don't know how it will happen, but this is what I feel. I'm just a humble fellow. Leave me alone," sort of a thing. And he went away. And my father thought, you know, he wanted some help from me. Therefore, he just wanted us to have some good, you know, some good cheer in the house. And so he completely dismissed it. He didn't remember it. Nothing at all. You know, they used to go to different astrologers, different holy people, everybody, if they can cure, apart from because the doctors had given up. Swami came in April to Hyderabad to inaugurate Shivam. Shivam is Swami's home in Hyderabad. It's a lovely building. And Swami came to inaugurate that. Huge crowds. And my mother and father both used to take all of us to the... My dad was interested in his talks. My mother was interested, maybe she'll get some cure. Swami was by then known for the cures that he was giving. So both went. And I remember one evening, there's lots of crowd, big crowds, and Sevadal is trying to push people away. And this is this little guy, he's just a mass of putrefied meat. And we have covered him in his hands, we've covered him fully in all kinds of different cloths. And he used to be a stench used to come from this human body. And some of the ladies said, "Amma, why do you bring such a sick child amongst us? Couldn't you have stayed at home? Why do you want to make this guy suffer like this?" That pinched her, that really hurt her. And she was crying. And then my dad then said to her, "Okay, you do one thing. You go in the morning when there is not much men folk. They have all gone to their offices. And that's the time when Swami would come a bit closer. I'll go in the evenings because I'm interested in listening to Swami's discourses and what he's saying about it." So this was an arrangement they made. And the last day came, and Swami was just waving goodbyes to everybody before he left for the airport. And there was where my mother, myself and my sister were sat, and where Swami was waving from, probably halfway across, this corridor. And my mom couldn't hold herself anymore. She suddenly got up and started saying, "Swami, Swami, Swami," like that. And the Sevadal, you can imagine, right? The Sevadal members, how they will, immediately they got up and sit down. Swami stopped in his tracks and he turned back and there wasn't any path. So he asked the ladies to spread and then they made a path. Swami came, took my brother in his hands, and as Ted was saying, In his right ear, he said, "Tagutadi, tagutadi, tagutadi." In Telugu, it means, "It'll come down, it'll come down, it'll come down." We were all happy. My mom was really happy, crying. We both were there along, and we got out, and my mom called my dad, he was in his office, and said, "You know what? Swami has blessed our child, he's now cured." And my dad said, "Okay, what happened?" And then he said, "He came. And he said this." So my father asked, "Did he create a pendant? Something? And she said, "No." Then he tried once more, He said, "Did he give vibhuti? Did he create vibhuti?" Because Swami was known for these things, creating lockets, pendants, and vibhuti. So the next thing, the desire was on a pendant. It didn't happen. So the next thing was vibhuti. Even that didn't happen. And my father said, "So what kind of a blessing are you talking about?" He didn't realize it was the word of God. That's what he didn't realize. He still had to wait for another 24 hours. Next morning, we were all sat, and the procedure was that these blisters would ooze a lot of pus and blood and everything else. It'll get a lot of flies, hot time, April in Hyderabad. So we would cover his hands, we would tie his hands. This is just a few months old baby. Tie his hands so that he doesn't scratch, and cover him up in a thin cloth. And the next morning we would all go, take a little big cup of glycerin and lift each millimeter by millimeter, because it would be stuck to the skin. The next morning we went and sat there. We just sat, and my dad lifted the first millimeter. He didn't have to use his glycerin, nothing there. Lifted the second millimeter, nothing there. And the third and the fourth, by the time he lifted, there was not a single blister on his body. No scar, nothing at all. No science can explain this. In that day or today or in the future or at any time, science cannot explain how. Within, seconds or within, 12 hours it was. Within 12 hours, this thing which has been there for 8 months on his body, has completely disappeared. No medicine has been applied. Nothing has been done. No pendant has been given. No vibhuti has been given. Nothing has been applied. It's just the touch and the word of God. We all cried in joy and in ecstasy. We don't know why we were crying. We're just crying. And when he looked up, the date was the 7th of April. Swami inaugurated Shivam on the 4th of April, and this was on the 7th of April that it happened, and this entire dialogue came back to him. Who will cure him? God. Which God? The God that you have got faith in. You mean Venkateshwara, who would walk all the way from... Exactly, that's what happened. And so he thought, I mean, Swami was 48, 49 at that time, 1974, 49. My dad was 34, 35. For the last 35 years, since my birth, I have been worshipping the God who has been walking on earth. But I have not recognized him. I have been worshipping him in the stone form. Whereas now I know that he is the one who is walking on earth. And our faith got completely, solidly established on that day.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.
सुख के सब साथ दुख में न को सुख के सब साथ दुख में न को मेरे राम मेरे राम तेरा नाम एक साचा दो जाना को सुख के सब साथ दुख में न को कुछ तेरा ना कुछ मेरा ना कुछ तेरा ना कुछ मेरा ये जग जोगी वाला फेरा फिर काहे को सारी उमरिया जाओ या रंग सभी का अंत एक सा होई सुख में सब साथ दुख में न कोई मेरे राम मेरे राम तेरा नाम इत साजा तो जाना को जीवन आनी जानी छाया जीवन आनी जानी छाया झूठी माया झूठी काया फिर काहे को सारी उमरिया फिर काहे को सारी उमरिया पाप की गठरी ढोई सुख के सब साथ दुख में न को हर की तू माटी फाके पहर की तू माटी फाके मन के भीतर क्यों ना झाके उचले तन पर मान किया उचले तन पर मान किया और मन की मैल न ढोई सुख दे सब साथ दुख में न कोई मेरे राम सुख के सब साथ दुख में न को
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Love to Love on the Asia stream of Radio Sai. We will now continue with the talk by Dr. Veerabhadra Rao. Stay tuned.
It is a gift of God. Now, why does He give that though? Why has Swami come to my, karmic, karma, individual's karma? We all know that. You know, we all have to go through us, through whatever we go through in life, it's karmic, whatever we have done now would come back to us. We know this theory. Why has Swami done that though, to this fellow? He would have his own reasons, but if I analyze it, now, after having grown up, I feel that He had given me that faith, so I can carry on this journey, to get rid of my ego. And merge. You want to call mukti, whether as emergence or as liberation or as freedom or as oneness or whichever way we want to call it. I once said, what is this liberation? When you say liberation, is it self-realization? Is it that I will see the whole world as Virus? I look at you. It's not anymore Anupam. He's Viru. Do I look at it like that? This is my going on in my head. What is self-realization? I don't understand what this self-realization is. And then, I got the answer, it's not seeing. Because when you say seeing, there is a seer, there's somebody who's seeing, there's something that's being seen, and there is, it is the feeling. It is the experience that I and this entire universe, Sarva Nama Dharam Shivam, Sarva Rupa Dharam Shantam, it's an experience. I don't see I'll feel it. I'll feel that I'm one with this, everybody in this hall, that I am one with everyone and everything in this universe. It is to facilitate that journey, so I can pierce through that thin veil. I mean, it's actually a very big, thick, mountainous granite rock of ego. That's what it is. But Swami has laid down certain other things, how to get rid of that ego. But when the final thin veil is there, still between me and the Deva, it is this solid faith. It is this foundation, this bedrock foundation of faith is what will protect me. Akhila manavulaku anandamanugurchi rakshinchuchundutaye dikshanaku. This is the very first letter which sir was mentioning, that Swami had written to his brother when he had asked him, when he challenged him, why, what are you doing here? Why are you bringing bad name to our family? And then Swami writes there that it is to give bliss to the whole humanity that I have taken birth on this earth. That's my vow. That's the first statement he has made. His vow is to give us bliss. Sachidananda rupam advaitam. He's come to give us that bliss so we may experience this oneness. For that, he will go to any extent. He will wake up from 450 kilometers from a stone or whatever you want to. He will do that and come and give you that faith. So, that's how my journey began. And then, of course, as I said, the journey is to get rid of the ego. So, many, many, many hammerings, many, many, many chiselings, many, many, many insights, insults, you might think, humiliations we might think, pain we might think, any of that is only all in this journey. Again, coming back to what Sudhir Bhaskar sir said, it is, you accept everything as your own good. I think it is 1998, January 14th or 15th, Swami gave a discourse where he said, it is now time, Bangaru. It is now time, that is, you know, he was addressing all the devotees in Sai Kulwant Hall. It is now time that you accept everything that happens in your life as a gift of God. You don't moan. You just accept. And he's saying it is time now. I think he was addressing me. You know, I don't know about the others. Definitely he was addressing me. It's now time you forget about your explanations. You forget about your imaginations. You forget about your deductions and any of that. Leave it. You just accept whatever happens in your life as a gift from God for your own good. He made these two statements. I would like you all to go back and listen to that. He has said that, I'm sure he has said it many, many times, but I heard it on that day and I remember it. It's very essential that we do this. Mother Kunti, I mean, I've had a good share of challenges and difficulties in my life, which has allowed me to, I hope, I pray Swami, that my ego is coming down bit by bit. But that is the reason I firmly believe that he has given us this. It allowed me to love him more and more and more. And immediately after this thing happened, the first thing we did was start bhajans in our home. This happened on the 7th of April, on the 19th of April, we started bhajans at home in Hyderabad. Year after that, we started Nagar Sankirtan. Year after that, we started Narayan Seva. Then my dad, you know, they were all into Seva all the time, free tutorials. I would have typhoid, but my dad wouldn't worry too much about me. He says, Swami is looking after him. Hey, he'll go and do his service. This is how it used to be. You know, Swami became an integral part. I can't imagine today what my life would be without Swami. When I say without Swami, I don't mean the physical form. I needed the physical form for a while, maybe initially. But after that, you know, we evolved. I felt his presence in Hyderabad. His physical presence was not there. He was in Prashant Nilayam. When you were in California, where was Swami? His physical form was only in Prashant Nilayam, isn't it? But we felt his presence even now, even then, at that time. And we feel his presence even now. If we are not, I think it's something wrong with our antenna. If you have a radio, you want to listen to a particular station. This is Swami's example, not mine. Swami says that, you know, if you want to tune into a particular station, what should you do? Put your antenna up, tune your station, fine tune it, and then you would be able to hear whatever song or whatever discourse or whichever you want to hear. If I'm not hearing, something wrong with my antenna, something wrong with my radio, isn't it? Or something wrong with my fine tuning. There's nothing wrong with the song, or there's nothing wrong with Swami's discourse or Swami's presence. He is there all the time. So I think we need to connect to that with one pointed attention rather than get distracted by this and that. Because when you get distracted, what are we doing? We're only digging 10 different holes. This is again Swami in one of the interviews with the youth. He said, one brother used to be there. He looked at him and he said, hey, sometimes you want to do engineering, sometimes you want to do biology, sometimes you want to do banking, business. You want to dig in 10 different places, shallow holes. In one place you dig, you dig, you dig. You will go deeper and deeper and deeper. And you would get the spring of life, spring of faith, spring of confidence, of love and truth and your own reality. Whereas if you dig in 10 different places, I don't think we are going to get anywhere. And it will be a wasted life. And what a travesty if it is that. If I am born as a human being, jantunam narajanma durlabham, it is said. You know, of all the species on this earth, of millions of species, to get the human birth is a rarest of rarity. Having got that, You know, do I want to waste it by digging in 10 different places? I can, from my experience, and to all of you, I appeal because you're my brothers and sisters. This is why I appeal to all of you, that let's not dig it in 10 different places. We are all together. Swami has been with us. He is with us. In us, above us, around us, at all times. He is waiting to protect us. You know, in that statement that he said, not only do I want to give them anandam, but I want to protect them. Sanmargamunu vidi cheriyunchu varala rakshinchute dikshanaku. I'm sorry, I'm not getting the exact words. The people who have left the path, to round them up, bring them to me, and then keep them focused on the faith is my job, is my duty. He's saying that if we want to become the obstructions in allowing him to perform his own duty, he is, you know, Swami is that, he's, you know, he is a democratic God. He's not a jealous God. You know, he gives you the, you know, we think it's free will, and Swami has explained that, isn't it? It's like the rope, you can go on and on that. And that's our world. He used to tell us, hey, student, you are like frogs in the well, Ra. He used to come to us in the veranda where we were sitting, and he would say, you fellows are like frogs in the well. You look at all these foreigners and everybody who is coming, they are coming like bees. They come from far, they come, they gather the fragrance, they take the fragrance and go away. Whereas you are fellows here, all the time sitting around me, there's darkness underneath the candle, and asking for this and that and chocolate and biscuit and, you know, when will you grow up? This is Swami's refrain to all of us. And when he says students, you know, we all are students. All of us are students. And, you know, so therefore, he is our devotee. He's waiting for us to actually sync up, link up, and be with him at all times. The ego is an issue, and I think we have to deal with that. And in my case, again, there have been many, 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 many stories after that where ego had to be sublimated. I'll just show you, I started with that Balvikas thing. I immediately joined Balvikas after that in India. And what a program. Today, I feel I can give away. I can give away all my certificates, all my gold medals, my everything in life. But there is one certificate I got in 1983 from Swami. It's called the Diploma in Satya Sai Education. I will trade off everything that I have got, but not that Balvika certificate. I mean it, because it has transformed. You know, it's strengthened this faith, it's deepened this faith. At such a young age that I became a lover of God. For me, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bible, Gospel, they all are validated by the presence of God, by Mr. Swami. If not, there were stories somewhere. Rama lived, where did he live? In Ramalaya, in one temple, you know, in my street. That's where he lived. He was not a part of my life. He was not living with me in the drawing room. I didn't take him into my school, later on into my college, into my theaters operating. I never took him anywhere. Now, because of Swami's presence, every word that is said in Ramayana has become, I can validate it with his presence. So without Swami's presence in my life, I can't imagine what my life would be. And Balvikas, the teachers who I had, the friends that I made, the brothers, the relationship that I did then, stood me through the vagaries of life as we grow up, as the senses start to take over, as the passions start to take over, as the ego starts to develop. You go into this, you know, into this agitated state of mind of youth, and through all of that, it stood me in good stead. I just say to all the Balvikas teachers here and to all the parents that you are doing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job in preparing this earth, in preparing these generations to come to lead such wonderful and virtuous lives. I've got one picture I managed to pick up, and I'll just show you that, and I'll tell you what Swami said, and you know how much of his own spirit he breathes into these children's life. That's me. That's me in 1976. You can see Professor Bhagavantam and everybody sitting there as well. This is in Shivam. I got that for, I heard actually somebody saying wonderful competitions for going for Balvika students in your region just now. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. They conducted a bhajan competition and I got selected as the first winner of this prize. I never realized that I'll get the prize from Swami. When he was giving me that, he told me, good boy, Swami peru nilabettu. He said, this means, good boy, you keep up Swami's name. I was just happy and I came back and I told my dad, you know, Swami said this. He understood the import, the significance of that. And he said, you know what Swami said to you? That you have to be his reflection. You have to be wherever you are, in whatever state you in. And I think again Sudhir Bhaskar sir, he showed a slide where it said, what is Vidya? This that makes you, your looks, your attitudes, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you conduct, the way you speak, all of that needs to reflect the divinity that is there within us. The divinity that Swami in his physical form gave us a glimpse of what that is. It's an example. He just, you know, that form was an example, a great joy for us. But that's what he said. And I think many, it stayed with me all the time. It rings in my ear. If somebody says, what is your mantra? For me, the mantra is, keep up Swami's name. Keep up Swami's name. Keep up Swami's name. And for that, we have to do a lot of effort. And that effort is helped by Swami at all times. For me, I feel, definitely in my character, there are other things too. But ego is the biggest one. I'm a very egoistical person. And Swami made sure that the ego was, he has, in many ways, he has kept it at the top of my experience, my relationship with him. And he would give one knock, two knocks, one big knock, one small knock, one chisel here, one chisel there. And he's chiseling all the time. Professor Kasturi had written, there is a chapter in his book. I think he was so candid. It is such a great help to spiritual aspirants because he shares his deep publicly. This is published. Shares how Swami chiseled his ego. And this is the master at work. He'll make a great sculptor. He'll make a great sculpture out of all of us. Eventually taking us right to this, you know, this self-realization, the liberation that is there. So, thank you for listening. I thank you for sharing. It would be it's lovely if I can actually hear all your stories, because there will be hundreds of them. We know we are having a World Youth Festival now. My humble request is that we should have a World Children's Festival in Prashant Nilayam, so that the SSC children and the teachers, we used to have this, it's not new, we used to have this, all Balvikas children from all over India. I made great friends. Now they are leading Sathya Sai organizations in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world. We connect with each other, and this is what happens. Our consciousness starts to expand even from that young age. And therefore, I feel that to have a world children's, there will be many logistical problems, I know. Even whenever we try to do a children's program in UK, you have to work harder at it than actually doing it for the adults. But it is worth all the energy, all the effort. And I hope and pray that with Uncle's leadership and Swami's blessings, that we will be able to have in Prashant Nilayam a World Children's Festival. So with that prayer to Swami and my gratitude to all of you, Jai Sai Ram.
जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम, जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम। जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम।
बोलो राम राम राम, बोलो श्याम श्याम श्याम। बोलो राम राम राम, बोलो श्याम श्याम श्याम।
जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम। जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम।
बोलो राम राम राम, बोलो श्याम श्याम श्याम। बोलो राम राम राम, बोलो श्याम श्याम श्याम।
सब मिलके ताली ताली बजाइए।
कहो या राम, जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम। जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम।
बोलो राम राम राम, बोलो श्याम श्याम श्याम। बोलो राम राम राम, बोलो श्याम श्याम श्याम।
एक कंस पापी को मारे, एक दुष्ट रावण संहारे। एक कंस पापी को मारे, एक दुष्ट रावण संहारे। एक कंस पापी को मारे, एक दुष्ट रावण संहारे। दोनों दिन के दोनों दिन के दुख हरत है दोनों बल के दाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम। जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम। जग में सुंदर है दो नाम, चाहे कृष्ण कहो या राम।
बोलो राम राम राम, बोलो श्याम श्याम श्याम। 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 बोलो राम
श्याम श्याम श्याम। खुदा की साई तू तो कुदरत खुदा की साई तू तो कुदरत खुदा की साई तू तो सूरत खुदा की साई हो तुम बिन जीवन जहर है साई तुम बिन जीवन जहर है साई आवे जम जम घोलो मौला साई बोलो अल्लाह साई बोलो मौला साई बोलो अल्लाह साई बोलो साई बाबा 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 बोलो
another one of my most beautiful favorite bhajans I used to sing this song as bhajan as a child
hey aankh wo hey aankh wo jo sham ka darshan kiya kare hey aankh wo jo sham ka darshan kiya kare hey sheesh wo jo prabhu charan mein बंधन किया करे बेकार वो मुख है बेकार वो मुख है जो रहे व्यर्थ बातों में बेकार वो मुख है जो रहे व्यर्थ बातों में मुख वो है जो हरि नाम का वंदन किया करे हीरे मोती हीरे मोती से नहीं शोभा है हाथ की है हाथ वो जो भगवान का पूजन किया करे
अभी आगे और भी है
मर कर भी अमर नाम उस जीव का जग में है प्रभु प्रेम में बलिदान जो जीवन किया करे ऐसी लागी लगन ऐसी लागी लगन ऐसी लागी लगन लागी लागी रे लगन ऐसी लागी लगन मेरा हो गई मगन ऐसी लागी लगन मेरा हो गई मगन वो तो गली गली हरि गुण गाने लगी, महलों में पली मन के जोगन चली, महलों में पली मन के जोगन चली, मीरा रानी दीवानी कहाने लगी, ऐसी लागी लगन मीरा हो गई मगन, ऐसी लागी लगन मीरा हो गई मगन। राणा ने विष दिया मानो अमृत दिया, मीरा सागर में सरिता समाने लगी, दुख लाखों सहे मुख से गोविंद कहे, मीरा गोविंद गोपाल गाने लगी, वो तो गली गली हरि गुण गाने लगी, ऐसी लागी लगन मीरा हो गई मगन, ऐसी लागी लगन मीरा हो गई मगन, वो तो गली 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 हरि हरि गुण गाने लगी, महलों में पली मन के जोगन चली, महलों में पली मन के जोगन चली, मन के जोगन चली। बन के जोगन चली, 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 बनके जोगन चली, बनके जोगन चली, महलों में पली बनके जोगन चली, मीरा रानी दीवानी कहाने लगी, ऐसी लागी लगन मीरा हो गई मगन, ऐसी लागी लगन मीरा हो गई मगन, ऐसी लागी लगन मीरा हो गई मगन। tu hi faqeer, tu hi hai raja, tu hi hai saai, tu hi hai baba. Sainath, 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 tere hazaron haath. Sainath, tere hazaron haath. Jis jis ne tera naam liya, jis jis ne tera naam liya, tu ho liya uske साथ. साईनाथ 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 तेरे हजारों हाथ, साईनाथ तेरे हजारों हाथ. इत देखो तो तू लागे कन्हैया, उत देखो तो दुर्गा मैया, इत देखो तो इत देखो तो तू लागे कन्हैया, उत देखो तो दुर्गा मैया. नानक की मुस्कान है मुख पर, शान मोहम्मद भी है मुख पर, शान मोहम्मद भी है मुख पर. साईनाथ 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 तेरे हजारों हाथ, साईनाथ तेरे हजारों हाथ.
तेरा पत्थर कण कण राग, Sainath, 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 tere hazaron haath, Sainath, tere hazaron haath, jis jis ne tera naam liya, jis jis ne tera naam liya, tu ho liya uske saath, Sainath, 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 tere hazaron haath, Sainath, tere hazaron haath, Sainath, tere hazaron haath, Sainath, tere hazaron haath.
Tune in to Sight. Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.